When man first walked on the moon, the nation, the world, was in awe.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Human exploration of the solar system. Everybody loves the idea, but nobody wants to pay for it. Mars, in particular, lately has been a political football.
NASA drew up a plan to go to Mars in 1969. There was nothing unfeasible about that plan. We could have been on Mars already.
Robert Zubrin is an aerospace engineer who just can't wait for NASA. In 1998, he founded the Mars Society with one goal, promoting the exploration and settlement of the planet Mars.
We want it to be the Jacques Cousteau Society of Mars.
The Mars Society has built two habitats, one in the Canadian Arctic, one out in the Utah desert, to give people experience living and working under extreme conditions. Not exactly Mars, but as close as you can get by car. Mike Neal is a design writer, and he joined a recent mission to see how well we can simulate life on Mars on Earth.
Two scientists, three engineers, and I are squeezed into an SUV full of luggage, building material, and astronomy equipment. We're driving from Grand Junction, Colorado, to Hanksville, Utah, site of MDRS, the Mars Desert Research Station, or as everyone calls it, the HAB. The three-hour drive seems a bit long at first, but if I were actually going to Mars, the trip would be 1,500 times longer, almost 6 months. I've joined this mission to evaluate the design of the HAB and to experience firsthand how the Mars Society envisions life on the Red Planet. When the HAB finally appears next to an outcropping of rocky hills, I have to admit, it does feel like we've landed on another planet. It looks like a giant tuna can that was dropped out in the middle of nowhere.
Welcome to Mars.
When we got out of the car, we weren't greeted by Martians, but by Josh Nelson, a habitat engineer. He was there to give us the tour.
Everyone set? First, we're going to go through the general tour of the facility, then we start all these joyous procedures and all this fun stuff we have to go over. Thrill a minute.
Close encounters of the sarcastic kind? But as Josh showed us around, I realized that life on Mars might not be as high-tech as I thought.
We have our ATVs behind you. We have the solar panels that don't actually work. Anyone here have soldering and electrical experience?
I have some soldering experience.
A little bit? Okay, well, have fun. We had a rat problem. We have caught the rat, but there are still mice. This year, since the old suits had massive rips in all the crotches, temporarily we'll be using these jumpsuits. They look fine in the photographs. Almost all of our old radios have died in one way, shape, or form. You guys might just have to do the whole put your helmet against someone else's helmet to talk.
How many radios are fully functional?
Fully functional? In what way?
Well, no one ever said our mission would be easy, and after the two-hour disclaimer, we were ready to suit up and set out.
I'm Kelly Rickey, and I'm a crew engineer.
I'm Zach Wilson, and I am also a crew engineer.
Well, that's my crew. Each one of them has been selected by the Mars Society for a specific task. Lara is testing how bacteria and plant life can grow under extreme conditions. Barbara is making astronomy observations, and Kelly and Zach are keeping us alive. They maintain the HAB systems and equipment. One task we all share is cooking. Our meals are limited to shelf-stable breads, cans of dehydrated fruits, vegetables, and prepared meals, and a slightly disturbing cheese powder.
Anybody want to try the dried mango?
It smells horrible. Oh, yeah, you should test it. See how well you have to ration it.
Wow.
It tastes like Lucky Charms.
Yeah, try.
So light and crispy.
Our flimsy plastic dinner table is the center of this Martian life. Whether that's eating, testing bacteria cultures, or watching movies on our personal laptops, which are probably the most sophisticated gadgets we have.
I keep smelling something. I don't know if it's me or if it's that cheese.
I need a shower so bad.
Unfortunately, we're only allowed one Navy shower every 3 days. Water may have been discovered on Mars, but it's not exactly easy to get to. So at MDRS, we have a limited supply. And the filtration and recycling systems are far from perfect.
So the water supply to the toilet is frozen,
which means we cannot flush the toilet.
And potentially when it thaws, other pipes burst.
Right.
And now we have a real problem. Well, not that not being able to use the toilet isn't a real problem. But,
our generators failed twice, leaving us without heat. So, if pretending in 5 below zero is so challenging, how will real Martianauts last in 190 degrees below? In our darkest hours, we turn to Dr. Robert Zubrin, the Mars Society founder. His manifestos line the shelves of the Hab.
So there's a line in this book. It's talking about finding social happiness on Mars. And it says, yes, fully possible, even for you, a person who obviously was a complete social failure on Earth. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Wait, does Zubrin think Mars is for losers?
I think Mars is going to be a very optimistic culture, one that reveres change and that welcomes people who wanted something better than they had and were willing to take a chance to go do it.
My upper eyebrow itches.
There's something a little odd about transmitting your laughter.
To test out the mobility of the spacesuits, our commander Judah set up a highly scientific experiment.
We should have set this up at the beginning of the rotation. We wouldn't have done any work. We would play ping pong always.
No! I cannot move!
Barbara, you gotta adapt. You gotta adapt to overcome. You're on Mars. That's how it is.
Not like this! No!
Blinded by foggy visors and suffocating from broken ventilation fans, we all took off our helmets. So, technically, the ping pong tournament killed the entire crew. These are the types of things we report back to mission support every night to summarize and evaluate our activities. I can't help looking over my crewmates' shoulders and wonder, with all the loopholes in this system, is this all just for fun?
It does work. I mean, it's a good exercise, but we know that we're not actually on Mars, and so I think we're not as careful as we would be if we were. I mean, I was a lot more careful the first 8 or 9 days, but it's the last day. I got a couple other things I got to do.
Dr. Zubrin points out that for every sim, results may vary.
The sim is only as good as the commitment of the crew to the sim. We've had crews that have completely blown it off and say, oh, this is all nonsense, it's just a party. But we've had crews that have never gone outside without wearing a spacesuit, and those that did it seriously get a great deal out of it.
The Mars Society has sent more than 100 crews to MDRS. So what does the rest of the space community get out of it? The research that comes out of the Hab isn't NASA-grade, but Chris McKay, a planetary scientist at NASA and a longtime associate of Zubrin's, is okay with that.
The Mars Society, I would say it's not so much their research, but the incredible job they do in motivating and inspiring students who are interested in human exploration. It's absolutely necessary that if we're going to succeed in human exploration of Mars, we begin to recruit and train future generations. And that has been the main connection between NASA and the Mars Society.
That's just it. Motivation. It might be hard to imagine a dusty tool shed in the desert as an inspirational tool, but the scientists and engineers at MDRS get their kicks out of problem solving.
You know, the big payoff from Apollo was not Teflon or other specific inventions. It was the fact that the number of science graduates in this country doubled in the 1960s at every level, high school, college, PhD. It has enormously increased our prosperity and the dissemination of knowledge and everything.
While a manned mission to Mars isn't officially on NASA's calendar, the spirit of exploration born in the 1960s is alive and well today in the scenic deserts of Hanksville, Utah.
Do you want to go from here? I don't want to leave.
No, I don't want to go either.
For Studio 360, this is Mike Neal, back on Earth.
And at Studio360.org, we've got some photos of Mike's mission and also information about a big live debate this week on the question of where the manned space program should go next.